Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Simcast, your weekly source for sim racing news, tomfoolery, and off-topic discussion. It really depends upon how much caffeine the hosts have had before the recording is how much off-topic we will be. This is episode 24 of our 2022 season. Of course, I am Mr. Ben Williams, your usual U.S.-based host. Joining me as ever, Mr. Louis Satterley.
Hello, Benjamin. How are we?
I am good, Louis. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful outside of my Le Mans hangover.
As a Corvette fanboy, I am very sad about Le Mans.
See, that's why you just need to go ahead and actually cheer for a real manufacturer instead of one that just brings two cars.
Rude.
Ooh. If we weren't in a recording right now, I'm sure he would have moved you.
I was going to say, I like Porsches, and both of the pro cars could have crashed out of the race, and I still had people to cheer for, so just saying.
It's not like the GTE program is going to survive after this year anyway. Oh, wait, it's not. Also joining us this week, we can't seem to get rid of him, Mr. Jordan Groves.
Hello. Yeah, at this point, are there really US and UK?
No, you blur the lines there, sir.
Yeah.
Glad to know we break out your American side.
1 week I come over and traumatize your show. The next week you come over and traumatize my show. So
yes,
man, I wish I had time off like you two do, so I could do the same thing.
The joys of having a shift that allows me to do this.
The joys of being able to work from home and take breaks in the middle of the day.
Yeah, unfortunately, I work with my hands and I got to be on location all the time. So, but the cool thing is I get to see rockets get made.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
On that note,
can't really add anything. I can't beat rockets.
I watch rockets get made. That's it. I mean, it's not like I can elaborate more on that.
Yep. Unfortunately, I can't really beat that. So, if you have interesting work projects that you can work about that don't violate potential NDAs like Lewis might, you can of course follow us on Twitter at the Simcast Radio using the hashtag Simcast RSL. If you think that Lewis should be more careful talking about his work. And of course,
speaking of, I don't think I ever shared the pictures of you guys with the new Artemis as it went out to the launch pad, so I'll send you guys those to look at. Sorry, dear listener, this is not for your eyes. But anyway.
Yes, and of course, all the three of us and Mr. Matt Hunter are members of the Midweek Motorsports Listeners Collective. So, the biggest piece of news that we have to talk about this week is if you've been listening to this show and the previous show for a while now, you know that all four of us are pretty heavily invested, particularly myself at this point, in the Forza Motorsport franchise. And ever since we had one trailer back in July of 2020, we've been greatly anticipating more information and maybe even another trailer, or even if the game was still happening, because they went radio silent for a good while there, whether or not the next Forza Motorsport title would be coming out. But never fear, dear listener, this past weekend, we got a new trailer. Woo. And a release date, no doubt.
Well, vague release date.
Vague release date. I was going to say, a release quarter.
It is still more information than what we had previously. Which was none. First of all, it's a Microsoft Studio game, so of course, it's very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with the Forza franchise and their fictional track, Maple Valley, they essentially remade it again. They fixed the pit entrance, which is something that I've mentioned to Turn 10 umpteen thousand times. And they've vastly improved like the visuals around the track, replacing most of the like exterior scenery out that you kind of see whenever you're flying past. And now there's even a festival that occurs in the middle of the racetrack,
which I'm starting to think actually is the current theme for every racetrack, because there's a still image of Laguna Seca somewhere, and it appears there's a festival happening at Laguna Seca as well.
Yes.
So it leads me to believe it's at every track.
For some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who needs a good old-fashioned party zone at every racetrack? Apparently we do. One that we can't obtain or visit.
I was going to say, do you really want to talk about party zones at a racetrack there, Mr. Satterley?
Sebring is just one giant party zone to begin with. You just merely get small pockets to where you can take a break.
It's a party interrupted by a race.
Pretty much, yeah.
Every
what was it? The year of the fuel crisis, actually, everybody still showed up down at Sebring despite there not being a race. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s.
That makes sense. Anyway, so not only did we get an impressive display of the visuals, including things but not limited to 3D leaves that cast individual shadows. Take that, Ian Bell.
Not the leaves.
Wow.
That's the only selling point for Project Cars 4.
I know. They also showed off their fully dynamic time of day system, their apparently fully dynamic weather system, which will it gets down to the minutiae of the time of day alters the ambient temperatures, which will actually change how the track surface reacts, which is something that's never happened in the Forza game before. The track will also rubber in. They've pretty much redone all of their textures for 4K-ness. There's 4K-ness. There's a lot of ray tracing things that are going to be happening during the races, not just limited to a different mode. For example, I don't remember where I read this. I believe, though, that ray tracing only happens in Forza Horizon 5 when you're in the Forza Vista mode. If you guys remember that. We also got to see examples of their new car body damage, which, I mean, it's a Forza game with production cars, so you're not going to be peeling off panels, but it is a bit of an improvement from what they had previously, where you hit the car, you get hit, and then your car's white because all of the vinyls have been scraped off. Things like that.
The typical Forza Motorsport damage model. I mean, they say it looks new, but to me, it's almost the exact same thing, to where it's not a full, you know, pieces flying off. It's just dents and ripples throughout the whole bodywork, to where you can still tell exactly what car it is. It just looks like it's been beat up with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. We also did get in the trailer, we also did spy, of course, Spa Frankenchamps and Mazda Racer Laguna Seca, both Forza regulars now at this point. But we also saw Kyle Lamy making his Forza debut.
Now, every criticism, and I will get onto the criticisms I have, and I'm sure you will as well with this trailer, but the fact that Kyle Lamy is included means that I automatically have to nominate this for Game of the Year.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
I bloody love Kyle Lamy.
Yeah. Well, too bad. You got to wait till next year until that happens.
So 2023 game of the year.
Spring 2023, in case we didn't actually say it yet, which I don't believe we did.
No. I'll nominate it if we get a different Australian track, including Bathurst, along with another one. So like a Phillip Island or something.
Yeah.
Under gets way underrated on what they get inside the games.
Yeah. We also saw in the trailer what Forza calls Circuit, and I'm probably going to pronounce this incorrectly, Hakonen? H-A-K-O-N-E.
Hakonen.
Hakonen, yeah.
Hakonen.
Which, given one of the promotional screenshots that Forza has shared on their website, I believe that's pretty much going to be a excuse me, a discount version of Fuji Speedway.
So it's sort of like how on Forza 4, Sunset was their version of Daytona.
Yeah.
This will be their version of Fuji.
Yeah.
That's cool. I can live with that.
Yep. And, of course...
Well, just it was a high-speed track, so I don't know if that... Would you consider Fuji high-speed? Considering the last sector?
Yeah. I would. The middle sector is quick.
I mean, obviously the middle sector is, but, I mean, anyway, that's a debate we can have for a different day.
Yeah. Anyway, also, with the tracks, we saw some cars, which...
Important.
Very important.
The very important part, yes.
Yeah. Which, I'll just highlight the ones that are new, because there's a lot of things that were featured in the trailer that have been in Forza games previously. First of all, 2018 Acura NSX GT3. Would have nice been had the Evo, but maybe we just haven't seen that yet. 2020 Acura ARX 05 DPI.
Nice.
And there was much rejoicing because we have DPIs in the game. The 2018 Audi R8 LMS GT3. Again, an Evo would have been nice, but maybe we just haven't seen it yet. The 2021 Audi RS e-tron GT. The 2019 Brabham BT62. Which I'm looking forward to that one. The 2021 Cadillac DPI VR.
Woo!
We have two DPIs in the game now.
Yes.
The 2020 Corvette Racing C8R. Yes. And of course, the Corvette Stingray C8 Coupe. We've had that one. 2018 Formula Drift Nissan 370Z. 2020 Formula Drift Toyota GR Supra. The 2019 Jetta LMP1 car.
I'm really excited by Jetta being in Forza at last. I really hope that means they're also going to add like the GT5, the GT3. The Junior would be great as well.
Yes.
Jeanetta long needed to be in Forza.
Yeah, there the GT5, I would love to ring that thing's neck.
Yeah. On a subreddit that one of the tour staffer also moderates for, there was apparently someone who was connected to Jeanetta that said that a Forza contractor came and scanned a bunch of Jeanettas. So maybe this is just the first one we're seeing.
Something tells me that an LMP3 car is going to be in there too.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
That'd be cool for dentists everywhere.
It would.
Moving on down the list, 2020 Koenigsegg Jesko, which I believe actually was in Forza Horizon 5, now I'm thinking about it. The 2020, huh?
It was indeed.
It was indeed. Okay. The 2020 Huracan Evo. The 2018 Huracan Super Trofeo Evo, the 2018 Mercedes AMG GT3, again, would have been nice to have the Evo version.
Well, we still got an updated version compared to the old SLS that we've been getting for the last
few
generations.
Very true.
I mean, this one's much closer to the current one. I mean, granted, the Evo would have been great, like you said, but I mean, it is.
I mean, I can't really.
The same basic shape of car.
I can't really complain about that one that much, considering we just got the GT3 Evo in iRacing last week.
And then there's that.
Yeah, there's that. 2016 Nio EP9, which is a ridiculous electric car. One of the
Nio or Neo?
Neo, Nio, I'm not quite sure.
It's Neo, yeah. It's Neo, This one's also from Horizon, but Neo is the team that are in Formula E as well.
I'm familiar with what that is now. Okay, yeah.
And the last interesting car that I'm seeing on this list is the 2021 Porsche 911 GT3. However, that is the road version, not the race version. Meh.
Yeah. Well, I still think like the fact that we've got the road version, I would like to think that we will probably also get the race version of these cars, because this is a far from exhaustive list. Yeah. One thing I thought I saw in the trailer, which I obviously didn't, I can see that the GTR Nismo is on here, the R35, but I swore I saw a race version of it as well. But I might have just been a trick of the light or something. But the very limited track list we have so far, or car list we have so far, I should say, there, I'm glad that they have got some updated cars.
Yeah, like, and I will say there's a lot of race cars on this list.
Mm. Yeah, this is just a trailer. For a long time, we've been crying out for, like, we have two versions of Forza, Motorsport and Horizon.
Yeah.
It would make so much more sense for the Motorsport version to have a more Motorsport-focused car list, and the Horizon version to have, shock horror, a more production car-based car list. Now, obviously, there's room for crossover with that, and I do want there to be some road cars in this game. Yeah. I mean, you know from running Toro for so many years, the advantages to having production-based championships.
One of the best things about Forza is that you can take a production car and morph it into a race car, essentially.
Exactly. And when you look at how the improvements that were made to the Horizon upgrading system, where you have like wide body kits, etc., and you could change like the... you could actually make the wheel, the axles longer. I'm struggling to figure the word you would call it, like the wheelbase longer, etc.
Track
like
width.
That's it. Track width. I don't know why that was escaping me. But if you add all of that customization as well to the road cars that are in Forza Motorsport, then you can make the production cars look more like race cars as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there is a benefit to having both. But I think, you know, if in a dream world, if we can have like 10% of the SUVs that we have had in the last game, that would be great.
Yeah, I never understood the concept of putting SUVs inside of a racing game.
I don't mind one or two. Like, as somebody who raced in the SUV Cup on Toro, it was quite a lot of fun. But like, there does not.
I can honestly say, I think the best part about having SUVs inside of Forza Motorsport was back on, I want to say it was Forza Ford, where you get really big, heavy SUVs, and then you played football or soccer over here with somebody inside of a Volkswagen Rabbit, because you couldn't get anything smaller as the ball. And of course, somebody goes out there and makes a lovely paint job for it to put on the marketplace for you to go out and download a soccer ball to put on your Volkswagen Rabbit.
Now that Forza have the Assetto, like, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, what was it? Horizon, please.
Actually, I think this was on Forza 3 that it got to be so popular that literally they made a soccer version of it onto Forza 4.
They did. Except it was an actual soccer ball.
And it was an actual soccer ball, so nobody got to be punted around like crazy, which that was half the fun. Because I remember distinctly there being, like, rotations of games where everybody's like, okay, I'm the ball next.
Yeah. They changed the collision system in Forza 7 about halfway through its life cycle, and you really can't do that kind of thing anymore.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
The Forza Motorsport 7 was awful. It was so bad. Like, so many races that I was having would be ruined by you make the bare minimum of contact and then you're just super glued together.
Yeah,
and like, and there's that was such garbage. Yep. I don't know what they were thinking about that, but hopefully that's another thing that they've improved for this game.
This is that in particular, just that example is them trying to improve the game for those who are only doing like public hoppers, where if someone is going to no break you into the first corner, it's not totally going to end your race, because your cars will essentially decelerate together, if that makes sense. But whenever you're doing something that the game's not completely designed for, like Toro does, where you have half an hour, 45 to, you know, 24-hour races, it's not designed to deal with that.
But it's the fact that a motorsport game wasn't designed to do motorsport.
Motorsport, yeah.
That's the areas that this game really needs to knock out of the park. I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that this game is absolutely make or break for the motorsport part of the franchise.
Yeah.
You've seen how many people have moved on in the hiatus that the game has been under. And, like, the thing that I the thing that I'm disappointed with this trailer and the demo that we got afterwards was it did the typical Microsoft thing where it focused almost exclusively on visuals.
Look how pretty it is.
And like when you look at other motorsport games like iRacing, the graphics aren't bad, but it's
not the selling point.
It's not. And like the game looks absolutely stunning. Fair credit to them. It is the best looking racing game there is at the moment for me. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would have put a little bit more focus on the changes that they have made that the community have been so desperate for over the last few years. Because at the moment, as somebody who long departed Forza Motorsport because of many frustrations, mm-hmm. whilst the game looks stunning and there's things like Kyalami, which I'm excited about, there's nothing about this trailer that has made me go, yeah, I am confident that this game will be better. It just hasn't done that yet. Now, there's still a long time before launch. As you say, it's not going to be launched until spring 23. So I'm sure, and they're doing a Forza monthly, whatever it is, today, but tomorrow when we're recording.
Tomorrow for us, today if you're listening live, June 16th if you're listening on demand.
Yes, so they might release some more information there, and of course they will release more information as the months go on, but as a means of, like this, as you say, this was the first news we got about Forza for so long because the developers went on a, quite frankly, unacceptable radio silence. Mm-hmm. I would have liked for there to have been more actual, like, what is in the game content-wise, feature-wise, what are we doing to address the well-known criticisms of this game to try and get people more interested and build up the hype a little bit more initially. But who knows what can happen. This game still has the potential to be all that. I just wish it had telegraphed that a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is... with how long they were radio silent and how long they're taking to develop this game, because it was a biannual release, and now it's how many years since they've... It's been 5 years. Okay, so initially we were teased that this was going to be a launch title for the new consoles. That didn't happen. We were told it was supposed to come out 2 years ago. That didn't happen. Last year, didn't happen again. So now we're finding out, what is it, going to be 6 years by the time it's released?
Five and a half.
Okay.
If they have a delay of some sort, then it will be six.
Okay, so 5.5 years to, like Jordan said, address all the issues for everybody that they've been having since Forza 4, really, because Forza 4, after that, they decided for some reason to fix what wasn't broken. Mm. And then, so for me, I think this is going to be the make or break for their franchise, to whether they get all those people back that they've been kind of alienating with how they went down from 4 to 5 to 7. Mm. If you can get those people back that you've alienated, then I think you're going to do the right thing. So for me, this is the make or break title for them.
Honestly, I agree with what you guys both said about this is make or break. Being just as plugged into the Forza community as I am, given that I'm still running Tora, and knowing what my community has been saying, and yes, I am privy to some advanced information, which, frankly, in this case, I don't really have that much advanced information about this title because, well, they aren't sharing that much. It's just that the last couple, like 6 was okay, but 5 and 7 have not been good at all. 7's had many issues. 5 is 5. We don't talk about 5. But from just like a console racing game base, just looking at just Forza and just Gran Turismo, Gran Turismo has pulled ahead significantly in the realm of features, in the realm of gameplay, Forza might have to be on visuals right now. That doesn't mean that Gran Turismo is not going to see this and say, oh, you want to go up to 11? Let's go up to 11. So,
well, I mean, it's one thing to have a great-looking game, but if it doesn't play well...
Exactly.
Prime example, which you said we don't talk about it, but we're going to talk about it now, is Forza 5. That game looked fantastic.
It had no content.
It played terrible. Yeah. You couldn't do anything in it.
I mean, and one thing I'll add is that, like, how many times have I said about me hating yearly releases and stuff like that? A lot. Yep. Yes.
We're
still at once a show, I think.
Yeah. I am glad that Forza have taken the time to hopefully reinvent the franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I would much rather games companies, especially motorsport games, release a game and then support it for 5, 6, 7 years at a time, and then only release it when a new one when there is a significant technological update that needs to be made that you can't then bring into the game.
Fully agree.
However, if they then have used this six, five, whatever years to develop a game, and then it doesn't come out with these features fixed, mm-hmm. then that's just unforgivable. But
yeah,
you know, the signs are there that they are starting to make. Like, I don't know whether we've mentioned the fact that they have said that there's going to be a much greater focus on tire wear, fuel management, and they're even going to have different tire compounds.
Yeah, I believe that was like stuff that we learned during Forza Monthly previously.
But that sort of stuff is very encouraging. Like, that is a step in the right direction. It just, yeah, we just have to wait and see as to whether the delay has been worth it. And if it is, it could be amazing. So
yeah.
I do hope they've also shaken off the stigmatism that they've self-created with the whole turn 10, we don't listen to our community.
Yeah.
Which they did have that going for them for the longest time.
100%. Yeah, and then the radio silence that they've had with that community, in the same, like, they went from ignoring what we were saying to just ignoring everything.
Yeah.
Which is not good. Like, if you're going to have this time period where you don't develop the game, I think it was unfortunate because obviously, like, during this delay, we've had the weird circumstance whereby 7 reached end of life status. So there has been, yeah, you've been able to play it still if you owned it, but there has been no official thing. So that was unfortunate. And I think that's sort of like, because they hadn't planned for this gap, I don't feel that was just an unfortunate circumstance. If you're going to have these long gaps in development, you do need to keep up communication just to stay relevant, if nothing else. So, but
yeah, I was going to say a simple tweet saying, "Hey, how's everybody doing?" would have been great.
Yeah, we are still in active development of this game. You can look forward to updates as soon as we have them. Just stuff like that would have been fine.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say this one thing that I've noticed while we've been talking about this and I've been looking at these images that annoys me is that even in 2022, Forza still can't manage to get the positional numbers on the side of the car to work.
Oh, yeah. The LED panels, yeah.
Anyway, so of course we're going to be paying attention to this. This is a developing story. I imagine at some point tomorrow we will be tweeting about what they discussed during the Forza Monthly. Hopefully, we get some more information. It's at like doing the conversion in my head. It's at like 12 noon Eastern on Thursday, June 16th. So if you're listening to this live, it's already happened, so you can go and check out what information was released. Any final thoughts about Forza Motorsport for me, continue, gentlemen?
I hope the wait was worth it.
Yes.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
I think we can all echo that. So we aren't quite leaving the Forza realm yet. Tonight's show, we've had the first expansion for Forza Horizon 5 announced. It's a Hot Wheels expansion.
Woo! I am so hyped about this. Yeah. I've said this before on the show, but for me, the best Forza DLC that was ever released, and I might even extend this to the motorsport games, was the Horizon expansion for Forza Horizon 3.
Honestly, it was pretty great. I'm not gonna lie.
They nailed it. But one thing, I'm shocked that this is happening this time because there is a Hot Wheels game.
The
Hot Wheels Unleashed.
Yeah, it's a very I haven't played Hot Wheels Unleashed, but I think it's just like a different kind of audience that they're trying to reach.
Yeah, 100%. Like the Hot Wheels, from what Matt has said about Hot Wheels Unleashed, as he's the only person here that's played it, is that it's very much geared in the kind of the Micro Machines game vibe, or I guess it would be similar to compare it to the sort of market that Circuit Superstars has gone down, where it's obviously more aimed at fun rather than any kind of serious physics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that makes the Hot Wheels partnership work with the Horizon games so much, is because you have that blurred line of semi-decent physics, amazing visuals, and then just the total outlandishness of having a Hot Wheels track in real life. Like, the screenshots we have here are absolutely insane.
They look brilliant. So funny enough, actually, I'm looking at all the different colors that they have here, and I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, this is a really great water park.
It's amazing, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, but it's Hot Wheels track that's thrown out through jungles and stuff like that, so it's actually pretty brilliant. But if you look at it from that aspect, I don't know why it went water park, but
honestly,
it looks like one, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. But honestly, if you do not have, or if you have like your inner child and you look at that, does that not look like so much fun?
Oh, it looks 100%. Fun despite the aspect of it. I mean, what was it, the very first screenshot that they give you with all the track going around the high-rise mountains there? I mean, it's just freaking awesome. I was just like, that might take 15 minutes to do a whole lap, but that looks like a heck of a fun lap. Let's do an endurance race.
They've said that there's actually going to be 200 kilometers of track.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, I'm down for an endurance race.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, using all 200 kilometers of track. Heck yeah.
Yes,
apparently there's also like
special, run what you brung.
There's special track types. I'm trying to find
There's like magnets, there's ice, there's water flumes, so there's your water park.
Hey.
there's like rumble tracks as well. So like I love what, and like they're combining it with the biomes sort of thing. So you know how biomes have been a thing in standard Horizons. So there's gonna be like a canyon section, an ice area, forest area, and something called Horizon Nexus, which I imagine is just like a festival, but in Hot Wheels.
Probably, yeah.
I love everything that they're doing with this, and this is the perfect, like, I know sometimes people give them a lot of stick for when they do the sort of more fun and silly expansions, like they had the same with the Lego expansion for Horizon 4, but given, like, this is a casual game, and that's not a dirty word, like, it is good for some games to have fun, and this is awesome.
And we're actually getting some new and some really interesting cars with this as well.
Yeah, I just happened to go down there on that, and look at that. There's a repeat from what we just talked about a minute ago.
Yep. The
Brabham's in here.
The Brabham's in here, yep.
Awesome.
Yep. The one that I really find interesting is the Chevrolet Hot Wheels Cobalt Camaro.
Yes.
Because that's essentially... that's essentially Chevy's version of a Dodge Demon.
Nice.
Yeah. I won't get into the full history of the Cobalt Camaro, but this is something that's, it dates back to like this, or like the very origins of the Camaro, where you can order, like, if you have the right form, you can make your Camaro faster than anyone else's.
Nice.
If you have the right form. there's also the Bad to the Blade Hot Wheels.
That looks insane.
The Hot Wheels Baja Bone Shaker. Hennessy Venom F5.
Uh-huh.
Which, I believe that's...
Is that the one that looks like the Lotus that's been stretched?
It's the continuation of that car.
Okay.
It doesn't look as Lotus-y as anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There is a GT3 car in this list, which is weird.
Yeah, the Mosler. That's straight out of Toka Race Driver 3. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming that means that car is going to be in Forza Motorsport.
That would be great. Yeah. I'm down for that.
Oh, that's the second oldest car on this list that they've given us, too.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny that we're referring to 2006 as old, but it really is.
Okay, I had to go look this car up because I'd never seen it before.
Is this the Sierra?
The Sierra, yeah.
That holds, if I remember rightly, that's a Mount Washington record holder, I think, for the two-wheel drive class. It's like a glorified buggy, but it's like it's like an off-road buggy, but mixed with a hill climb car.
Yeah, here, I'll send you guys a picture in our chat.
Ah, I've got it, here. Oh wow! So yeah, it weighs 1,100 pounds and it has 450 horsepower. That seems to be mad.
Essentially, what it is, it's a roll cage with a spoiler and a front splitter, and that's it.
See, that's perfect. Yeah, I'm down for that. Like, hill climb cars are amazing. So the more of them we get, the better.
Almost looks like a cross cart, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
And. Okay,
powered by some sort of motorcycle engine, I would imagine.
Yeah, 2018 Subaru rally car and 2019 Itel design Da Vinci concept.
It's basically a standard-ish kind of supercar base. It kind of reminds me of a Tesla model, whatever it is. Yeah, it's a weird mix of. I'm surprised that this isn't all Hot Wheels cars, to be honest. But I'm also glad, like, to get the Mosler and the Sierra.
Yeah,
like that. I'm quite glad, and the ARX Subaru as well. Like, rallycross cars are always a win.
Oh yeah, and if it's anything like the previous Forza Horizon expansions, you'll be able to use this in the entire game.
Oh, yeah, of course you will. Yeah, yeah.
Which means I'm going drag racing with a Copa Camaro.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
If I don't see the bad to the blade Hot Wheels car flying through the air at the end of the freeway, I'm going to be disappointed. So. But yeah, I'm excited for this. And the best thing is it's not even far away. So releasing on 19th of July.
Yeah, we'll be at... what month are we in? We're in June.
Yeah, we're just over a month away. But
just over a month away, yeah.
The one thing that's weird is that normally by now we've had both expansions, like, for a while for Forza Horizon games. So I wonder when we're going to get the second expansion, because we know we're getting one because people have already paid for two.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but...
It makes me wonder what it will be as well, because they usually follow the model of having one silly one and one sort of not silly one, so...
Yeah.
Can you call this one a silly one, though?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, this is silly, but good silly.
Yeah.
Like, they have one that's outlandish, shall we say, and then they have one...
I was going to say, it's more outlandish. Okay.
How about this? One that's whimsical and one that's more focused on reality. How about that?
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
There we go, yeah.
Realistic, even.
Just saying, this one, this bad to the blade car, I love how on the preview video it's got Firestone Reds on it.
Yeah, you know, it does. That automatically
you know what
makes
I would
better.
Love for the second expansion? Hmm? Sorry, just complete tangent. You know what I love in the second expansion?
Yeah.
A full Baja rally course.
That would be epic. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The one I've been sort of headcanoning is an Extreme E expansion where they tailor it around making people aware of like some kind of climate thing that happens in Mexico, and then they give us the Extreme E cars and like a course. But Baja would make so much sense.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, please.
Yeah, they also, it's not like they don't mention Baja in the main Horizon.
Oh, yeah, like they have a whole area called it. So.
Yeah. But I want wasn't the original Horizon that literally had a Horizon, a Rally DLC?
Yes, specifically it did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Something like that again. That would be crazy.
Yeah, was it Storm Island, I think is what they called it?
No, that was...
That was Horizon 3.
Horizon 3 was Storm Island. Horizon 4 was Lego and Treasure Island.
Okay.
I don't remember why. I don't know why I remember these things, but I do.
but yeah, give us a Baja course. That'd be amazing.
Baja course would be amazing. For sure.
I know the point to point is like 1,000 miles, so maybe not that long, but like give us a Baja-esque course. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from that, we'll definitely, I might have to fire Horizon 5 back up so I can play more of that. I've kind of decided to take a Forza 7 break for a while just until get it out of my system so that I have Forza Motorsport to look forward to.
Yeah.
We'll see what they say about physics, hopefully tomorrow. But I think I might have to get on Horizon 5 and just have stupid fun with cars for a little while.
Definitely.
Anyway, moving on from two announcements to another one. We've talked about this on the show before. Assetto Corsa Competizione has been teasing that they're going to have a track DLC out. And it's coming before the end of the month.
Yeah, this was a very much a surprise.
Yes.
And a welcome and one.
We were right.
Yes.
Kind of. So first of all, this is called the Land of the Three DLC. So given that name,
where it's set.
Given the name, you can kind of guess where this is at. This
I'm bold of them to release a Croatian-based expansion pack.
This is, of course, an
American... I was going for Lesotho myself, but okay.
My co-host went into that one. This, of course, is an American-based DLC pack.
Oh, is it? Oh, damn.
Yes. With three tracks that are confirmed.
All right, Jordan, here's your 20.
Circuit of the Americas, which we knew about, Watkins Glen, which we speculated about, and Indianapolis, which we pretty much said, yeah, this
well, that's
is
a given.
Happen. Yeah.
Considering they have an 8-hour race there.
Yeah. We have no confirmations yet of what versions of the track will be included in the DLC. Will Watkins Glen have all 4 or 5 different versions?
Well, I can already tell you they got the boot in there because one of the panoramic views they have in the preview is from the boot, so yeah.
I would imagine that we will only get the configurations that the GT World Challenge America goes to, because if you think Donington, we don't have the national layout. Silverstone, we don't
Paul
have
Ricard, the car, we don't have the weird
163 different configurations.
Yeah.
So as much as it would be cool, I'd love them to add different variations of all the different tracks, because like, it would simply be a case of adding one different AI line, which is a lot harder than I've made it sound, and opening up a barrier. But
yeah,
I would imagine we will just get those configurations. But those three tracks, I'm so hyped.
Yeah,
and they've also no complaints
whatsoever.
Yeah, they've also not confirmed whether this is all of the tracks that we're getting.
Yes, they have not.
I don't remember how where this original speculation came from, but it seems to be a widely held belief that there will be a fourth track. And it tends to be speculation it's going to be Road America, which would be amazing.
But VIR is also a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the entire track calendar for the GT World Challenge America, Sebring's on there as well.
And Sonoma.
Sonoma, there's Nola as well, which would be a massive disappointment.
So
I don't think it'll be Nola, because Nola was a last-minute thing.
Yeah, no one cares about Nola as well.
So, gentlemen.
Yes.
Here's some speculation.
Speculating.
So, in the trailer for this DLC.
Yes.
There was, flash screens that flashed Land of the Free and Home of the Brave. Do you think we're going to get a second DLC named Home of the Brave that'll have the rest of the American tracks in it?
I would love that. However, I don't know whether we will necessarily, because there is this sort of inevitability that at some point Kunos are going to entirely shift toward Assetto Corsa 2.
Yeah, but now, that's not until 2 years from now, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. But if you think about how much, how spread out the DLC has been for ACC, there's maybe the potential for one more. But I honestly would rather... maybe that this is the US DLC, and then if they're going to release another one, make it a GT World Challenge Asia DLC, and give us something further afield. I don't actually know where GT World Challenge Asia races. I'm going to have to quickly look that up. But having a microcosm of all of the different GT World Challenge series that there are would be excellent. And as much as that, you could very easily release another America DLC, and you could get in Sebring, which is an amazing track. You could get in VIR or Road America, whichever one we don't get. I would love to see an Asia one as well. But
Just the only reason that thought occurred to me was just because they named it the Land of the Three DLC, and they made a big deal about it being Land of the Three, Home of the Brave, which, you know, that is very much part of the American national anthem, but why use it in marketing in the way that they are?
For me, it just seems like they're just finishing the quote. Like I didn't personally read into it being that there might be a part two, but you never know. They could do.
Yeah.
But just following on, like the GT World Challenge Asia series, they race at Sepang, Suzuka, Fuji, Sugo, Okayama, and the Mandalika Street Circuit. Obviously, we already have Suzuka, but imagine a four-car a four track of Sipang, Fuji, Sugo, and Okoyama.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be so good. Well, yeah. But anyway, sidetracked.
Yeah.
But this is like the tracks look stunning in this trailer. Yeah. Like, are we surprised? ACC?
That looks stunning, really.
Like, even everything, like, they've got the shade of the tarmac at Indianapolis looks amazingly accurate.
Yeah.
I cannot, like, the ACC versions of tracks, like, when they released Donington, for example, like, tracks that I've been to, like, they are unquestionably the best, if not equal best, iterations of those tracks in real life. So the opportunity to be able to drive tracks like Watkins Glen and Indianapolis with this level of accuracy, I'm so excited for.
Yeah.
Have they mentioned that if the series are coming over into the... I would imagine they're going to bring in the North American series. But
they did with the British GT DLC. So right. I would only assume that they will probably do exactly the same and bring in the... I don't know whether they will necessarily add any more cars.
I was going to say, I hope they do the GT4 America series, because if I'm not mistaken, the North American series is bigger than Europe, because they consistently have 40 cars.
Mm.
Mm.
40 plus cars.
I think it's safe to assume, though, that we'll probably just get the typical livery dump that we usually do with.
Yeah, so going to get about 19 cars for the series.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, but...
Just looking at the entry list, there's no new GT3s that we don't already have, so that's fine.
Right, and GT4, I think it's just this... Maybe the Supra?
There's the Supra, and there's the Supra. There's a Celine in there.
Oh, yeah. That's
interesting. There's a Ginetta GT4. We have that already. That's fine.
That already, yeah.
There's a Mustang.
Which we don't have.
Yeah, as I would love that. That even if they only add one car, let it be the Mustang. Yes, please.
Honestly, if they added the Mustang, I would just do a America Trans Am series with just the Camaro and Mustang GT4, because it's close enough.
Done. Right? Done. Yeah.
Hey, at one point, that's all Trans Am was in North America, was Mustangs and Camaros.
Yeah. It still kind of is just Mustangs and Camaros. It depends upon, like, if the team wants to get interesting with the body panels, because there was a Challenger at one point, which was like a Dodge-backed thing, but Dodge being Dodge, they won the championship. Okay, we're done. Bye. Not that I'm bitter. Dodge.
No, not at all. No, it doesn't show.
Yeah. Anyway, this DLC comes out on June 30th.
Yep.
I tried to say 60th. That doesn't make any sense. June 30th. And for PC. 2 weeks. Yeah. For PC, consoles in... Nah.
Consoles will be 4 months later or something like that.
That will be the 60th of June.
Yeah. Where were you the night of...
I did see some criticism, like there were some people who play the console version who were a little bit mad that we're getting this DLC whilst there are still some issues for the console version. But one thing that's worth pointing out is that the team that work on the PC version aren't the team that work on the console version. Yeah, it's a different group that have converted that and are working on it. So whilst I understand the frustrations and hope that they are out soon, they aren't going to just abandon the console version. It will be worked on eventually. So it's frustrating for them, absolutely. But yeah, it's not the same group technically.
Just go ahead and buy yourself a PC.
Yeah, that's very easy to say.
I know it is. Yeah. I know it is.
We all know how hard the jump is.
I was going to say, I know that's easy to say, and it's comfortable for me to say, but I remember being told that and be like...
It's not that
Here's
easy,
a big old giant middle finger for you. So.
All right.
Anyways.
Yes. So on that note, we're all very much looking forward to that. So
I got an idea. Let's saw a car in half.
Where are you going with this?
Two wheels.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like that. Excellent. I did not see that segue coming.
Check out.
Oh, well, I'm not going to be too much good either. Do you guys remember SBK having a game?
No.
Well, good.
It's been a long time, so.
We've established on this show many times that I am not a bike guy.
Yeah, I've attempted it, but
I played MotoGP from last year, and you rather enjoyed that.
I did, but am I playing it currently? No.
No.
I can tell you what Copo means in Copo Camaro, but I can't tell you anything about bikes.
Well, good news for you then, because
Ben can't tell you if they have two wheels or four.
So yeah, we're getting a new.
Is this one a two-stroke? I don't know how this works.
Anyway, yes.
Go on.
But yes, we're getting an SPK game. Hooray! Yeah, for the first time, we worked it out before the show because me and Lewis vaguely remember playing SPK games like in the before 2010. It turns out
I played it on.
So the last one I played it on was SPK 2008 on a PlayStation Portable.
I did play the 2012 one that you mentioned, but it was very short. But the one that really sticks out in my mind, because I played it with my brother a lot, was a Superbike, or it was made by EA Sports, World Superbike 2000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
SPK games used to be as highly regarded as the MotoGP games. Like they were really good.
It's because we didn't really have a MotoGP game at the time either. No. So you literally had the Superbike games, so...
Yeah, so for the first time since 2012, SPK 22 will be launching on my birthday on the 15th of September. And it's made... Thanks, in advance.
You're 3 months early there.
The game, you are officially the first person to wish it to me, so thank you. This game is going to be developed by Milestone. So it's the same developers who make MotoGP, Motocross GP, etc.
Yeah.
So there's undoubtedly going to be a lot of similarities, but that's not a bad thing. MotoGP games, whilst I suck at them, are very good.
Yes, they are.
That, what Jordan said.
I imagine, really, this is the main differences are going to be, obviously there are differences between superbikes and MotoGP bikes. Don't ask me to name them. I just know there are differences. that MotoGP
one is production-based, the other one is a prototype.
There you go. Perfect. Summarized perfectly. Yeah, I could not. I knew that in the back of my mind, but
yep,
I didn't know that at all.
Superbike side is the production side. MotoGP is all prototypes.
And I will say one thing:
you cannot find a road going version of a GP bike.
Yeah, I will say one thing. Whilst I don't really enjoy motorbike racing, I always prefer the production based series. Like I feel like MotoGP is a little bit too far gone almost.
it's the F1 of bikes.
Yeah, so. I would say that production-based series tend to be closer, but Jonathan Ray exists, so maybe not. But yeah. Just having a look, I guess one of the main differences is going to be the circuits as well. We spoke about this prior to this, us hitting the record button. The UK races in Donington, which for me is an upgrade because Donington is better for bikes. Other tracks that aren't in the MotoGP game. So there's Magny Cours for France. Awesome.
Perfect. That place is brilliant for bikes as well.
100%. Where else? There's a lot of crossover. Like Phillip Island is on both calendars. Sepang is on both. Barcelona and Aragon are on both. Assen is on both. What else is there? Estoril is on the Superbike game. Amazing track.
I was going to say, years ago, and I don't think it is now, Sugo used to be the Japanese round for the Superbike.
Yeah, see, I wish that was still a thing. Sadly, Japan isn't on the calendar anymore.
Well, I think it has to do with their COVID restrictions as well.
You make a very good point. Let me have a look, actually.
This year is the first time they've started racing again, and GT World Challenge Asia has fired up for the first time since the onset of the pandemic, so...
Actually, there's no US round? No.
We haven't had a US round in quite some time. Not since MotoGP came over.
2019 was the last one I can see on here, anyway. Oh, that's a shame. Anyway, so... SPK.
Yeah.
That'll be cool. They haven't announced too much about what's going to be on there. They've already said that there aren't going to be the support categories. Which is what I was about to say.
Yeah.
But I don't know really what the, I know the differences between MotoGP 2 and 3. I don't know how big the differences are between Super Sport and Super Sport 300.
So 300cc is the Super Sport 300. the regular Super Sports, at least at the time when I was real big into bikes back in the early 2000s, those were your 600cc bikes.
Okay, so it's probably like the similar, like obviously not the same pace for all of them, but like similar pace drop off between MotoGP 2 and 3 kind of thing. Okay. It's not the end of the world, but I do always like to see support categories in there just for, if nothing else, for career mode progression.
Yeah, so the Super Sport races used to be brilliant all the time.
Yeah, I think that's a similar thing with whenever I've seen British superbikes, the Super Sport races always tend to be
fun. Yeah, but don't have a lot. We, like Jordan said, we don't have a lot of information for this, but we do have a release date.
Yeah, my birthday.
Yay. And I'm paying attention, I swear.
Brilliant. And it's going to be released on PC and the current and previous generations of consoles. Yep. So,
all right. Unfortunately, gentlemen, we only have 5 minutes left in tonight's program.
Oh, good God.
So we're going to have to speed through a couple of things. First of all, there since we're talking about MotoGP, MotoGP 22 is going to be adding the Red Bull Rookies Cup to the title. Not only are you going to get all the drivers that do race in the title, you'll also get updates to the Moto 3 riders and bikes. You'll get some improved AI performance on the start of the race. You'll be getting some new 3D models for a couple of the catch fences. And of course, your various degree of minor fixes as the game goes on. Unfortunately, Lewis, we don't have a lot of time to talk about this one. We're getting a little more information about the World of Outlaws title that's going to be coming out from Monster Games and iRacing.
Yeah, I think I could probably condense this down. I would have liked to talk a little bit more about it, obviously. But career mode, basically, they've outlined that, and it's similar to the old World of Outlaw games from the early 2000s by producer Ratbag, where you start as a local track racer and you work your way up the ranks to become a World of Outlaws driver, which is actually pretty much how it works nowadays anyway, because, I mean, it's literally, by the sounds of it, they're making it to where you buy yourself a car and you race in the local league, and then whenever the Outlaws Tour comes into your local home track, air quotes there, you get to race alongside them if you wanted to and try to cash in on a big buck there. So that aspect of it seems like it's, I'm hoping it's going to be similar to that, but seems like they're going to be trending on with that one. For cars, everybody thought that it was just going to be a sprint car game. Looks like they're going to go ahead and use all of the dirt car classes, which, if anybody doesn't know that, they specifically mentioned there's four additional dirt car classes. Actually, hang on. Race in both the Premier World of Outlaw Sprint Car and Late Model Series, as well as four additional dirt car classes across more than 40 tracks. So
that's they a mentioned lot of tracks.
Yeah.
That's loads.
Yeah. That's half the country, just about. Street Stocks obviously is one of them that they mentioned out of the two. The third tier series that they have would be the Big Block Modified, so that's two of them. What the other two are, I'm not entirely sure yet. I'm going to guess Legends are probably one of them. And then probably like a Bomber Division, which would basically be like you go out by the junkyard car for $500 and then just go race it. It wouldn't surprise me.
Four-cylinder dirt car is going to be close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or actually, another one actually could be the Extreme Outlaw Tour, which I'm thinking could be on there as well, which is non-wing sprint cars.
Okay.
That's a new series they just started this year. Yeah. So it's going to have officially licensed drivers and tracks. So places like Eldora, Volusia, Williams Grove. Yep. I love it how it mentions two of the tracks that me and Ben live closest to.
Yep.
and then obviously you got the big names of the sport, like the big cat Brad Sweet and David Gravel, Donnie Schatz. I'm just naming the sprint car guys offhand because those are the ones that are coming to mind. So yeah, that's pretty much all the new news that we got out of that.
I did we know that this was going to be a console only game before?
Yes, we
the
did.
Only one, okay, I was going to say the only ones they mentioned on the website is Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. So
yeah, their idea obviously is that if you want to do that on PC, you'll be on iRacing.
This is true.
Which is a fair enough model.
This is a very true fact. Anyway, so with literally the dying moments of tonight's show, it's time for this week's esports roundup of the week.
Brought to you by the Gaming Athlete.
Yes, head on over to thegamingathlete.com to learn about how to reach athlete status in gaming by maximizing your performance and restoring your well-being. Once again, that's thegamingathletes.com. So, unfortunately, the eNASCAR series is off this week, and we saw last week that the Porsche Carrera Cup esports is now over. So we don't really have a series to cover this week. However, we do get to talk about the Le Mans virtual series.
Yeah, of course. Last week when we were trying to find something Le Mans related to talk about prior to Le Mans, there wasn't anything to talk about. And then they announced Le Mans Virtual is returning.
Yes. So,
typical. So following on from last year's successful series, I think it was, Le Mans Virtual Series is returning for a 5-round championship. This time they're going to be racing in Bahrain, which will be making its debut in our Factor 2 prior, I hope. Otherwise, that's going to be quite difficult.
Q4, and it says September, so how that's going to work, I don't know.
They got 3 months.
Yeah, so round one will be the 8 hours of Bahrain on 17th of September. Round two will be the 4 hours of Monza on the 8th of October. Round three, 6 hours of Spa on the 5th of November. Round four, 500 miles of Sebring on the 3rd of December. And then, like last year, the series will culminate with the 24 hours of Le Mans Virtual, which will take place on the 14th and 15th of January 2023.
Yes.
I'm really excited for the series. It was so cool to see so many, you know, stars of real and virtual racing going up against each other in a really, really well-executed series, other than occasional server issues on R-Factor 2.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
By the way, exciting. One thing I'm really curious about is if you look down at one of the sponsors, it says Lego Technic.
Yeah, that was the same last year. They had a really good livery, both in PESC and in this, where they had the Lego Technic style, like all the bricks and connectors on the side of the car.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I adore that.
So the Le Mans trophy made out of Lego at one point?
Yeah, it was. Awesome.
Oh, wow. I honestly had no idea about that.
We need a Lego races game.
So what I found interesting about this, just to throw in a quick thing, it says Q4 is when Bahrain's going to come out. So I'm guessing the virtual series, I know they get their own personal mod made for that, and it doesn't get released to the public. So I'm thinking they're going to probably do a giant beta test of the track before
that
we
would make
it.
A lot of sense. Yeah, because
well, considering Q4, September is not in Q4.
No, that's Q3. So yeah.
That'll be what they'll do, which is a fair enough way of doing it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. All right. Well, we went a little over this week, but when is the Simcast if not occasionally going over time? So
it's just the equivalent of when the checkered flag comes out and you have to do one more lap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the leader didn't pass us, so then we got to.
Yeah.
Anyway, any final words of wisdom, gentlemen?
# eat more tacos. Sorry, Jordan. Get over it.
Brilliant.
I'll leave you, dear listener, on that note. So from all of us here, have a good week. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.